about the moment he unwittingly gave her a discarded bottle of nerve agent. The German football manager Thomas Tuchel has said he hopes to convince critical fans by making their dreams come true in his first comments since taking charge of England. BBC News.
Jane Steele. The comedian Ivo Graham brings us some more obsessions in a few moments. The benefits of skincare and castles might well get a mention. First, on Saturday evening, we'll head back to a time of scandal in the 60s.
On the 5th of June, Mr. Perfumo resigned.
It was the biggest sex scandal in British political history. But what do we actually know about the women at the heart of it all?
I cannot plead entirely innocent to my lifestyle at the time, but truthfully, I'd never really stopped and thought about it.
Using recently unearthed recordings, discover the life of the late Mandy Rice Davis, one of the teenagers at the heart of the 1963 Perfumo affair.
I've been angry for years and years and years.
Join me, Kirsty Wark, for the Mandy Rice Davis tapes on Saturday night at 8 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Hello! This is Ivo Graham's Obsession. It's a show where I, Ivo Graham, delve into the world of compulsion, fascination, passion, and other words that sound like knockoff perfume brands. One of my main obsessions is music. In fact, I own nearly 2 million albums. Full disclosure, that total does include all of Spotify, but the point still stands. Some of the greatest works of popular music are about obsession. Just look at Every Breath You Take by The Police, in which Sting presents himself as, at worst, a stalker, or, at best, the most valued member of his local neighbourhood watch team. But pop music's true obsessives are those performers who have devoted their lives to not just buying records and attending shows, but completely embodying their heroes. I'm talking, of course, about tribute acts. Looking and sounding like the act you're pretending to be is one thing, but we all know what the most important aspect of the tribute game is: coming up with a band name. Proxy Music, Oasis, The Foo Fighters, The Rolling Clones, Fake That, and I can't believe it's not Burt Bacharach. I've made that last one. The God-tier tribute band monikers are those that not just pun on the name of the act, but also suggest a fun gimmick. There's plus-side singer Blobby Williams, heavy metal tribute band Abattoir, a funk rock covers band from the Northeast called the Reet Hot Chili Peppers. These all exist. And the reggae rockers Dread Zeppelin. Tonight's audience is full of obsessives and geeks. Of course it is. It's a free recording of a Radio 4 show. I'll be chatting to some of these lovable oddballs later in the show. We also have a panel of celebrity guests who've agreed to reveal to us their unusual obsessions while indulging in another of their obsessions, talking about themselves. We will also be joined by our VOP, our very obsessed person, who is going to be telling us all about their all-consuming passion. But Ivo, is there a chance for someone in the audience to walk away with some branded merch? I hear me ask. Great question. Whoever I decide has the best obsession in the room will win this official obsessions cap. Our most obsessive audience member will also get to read out the credits. A thrill for them getting to appear on Radio 4, and an even bigger thrill for our producer not having to pay an announcer. Thank you very much. So, let's say hello to this week's celebrity obsessives. Please welcome John Robbins and Michelle DeSwart. Hello, John. Hello, Michelle.
Thank you.
Hello, Ivo. Hi. Hello, everyone.
Before we get onto your obsessions, I'd like to talk about something I'm obsessed with: the British Podcast Awards. Now, why have I brought those up? I'll tell you why, because we're looking at last year's gold and bronze medalist in the entertainment category. John, you host an award-winning podcast with your friend Ellis. Michelle, you have hosted an award-winning podcast with your friend Laura. I've texted them both to ask the things that they are obsessed with about both of you. So, Michelle, Laura has texted to say she's obsessed with the fact that you've got the self-control to go on holidays that you don't put on Instagram, and the fact that you can live in America so long without losing your Brixton accent. And John Ellis has texted to say that he's obsessed with your punctuality, the thoroughness with which you evaluate a tour budget, and your response time when someone knocks over a drink at your house.
You sound proper fun.
John, you are our first obsessive of the show. Can you tell us what your obsession is, please?
Yes, my obsession is rock musician Frank Zappa.
Michelle, are you a fan of Frank Zappa?
No.
Right. Could you explain to Michelle the majesty of Zappa?
Well, when I was 16 or 17, I was into all different types of music. I was into like rock, folk, classical, jazz, blues. I was learning the guitar. I was sort of learning about how all these different types of music fitted into each other. And then my friend heard me listening to a Lou Reed song. He said, "Have you heard of Frank Zappa?" And I said, "No, it's Frank Zappa." And he put on a tape for me in the drama studio of my sixth form school. And it was like I'd heard all these different genres. And it was like someone put them all together in one song. And I thought, oh, wow, this is music.
It sounds like a bloody mess.
Well, yes.
Like the trifle in Friends.
Yeah. Tastes like feet. Yeah, like the trifle in Friends, but if there was real melody running through the mince and cream. But what was amazing about it was he was so prolific in his too short a career. So I think when I got into him, there were about 70 albums. And the journey of discovering those albums, each completely different to the next. I would go to my local music shop and I would pick them based on the colour or the sort of the design on the front cover. And I would go back and I would be like, what's this one? This must be by a different artist. This is a Synclavier album with no lyrics on that somehow got a parental guidance sticker because there's a song called G-Spot Tornado. You've got to be doing something special to get parental guidance warning for an instrumental album. And then ones that just made you laugh and songs about sex. And none of them were love songs. None of them was what I was hearing everywhere else about, you know, I'll always love you. And when I first met you, blah, 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 blah. It was like dirty and grisly and grimy. And then the instrumental stuff was just like being in, it was like what music they must play in heaven. Is the only
G-Spot
way.
G-Spot Tornado.
Yeah, G-Spot Tornado. In really confusing time signatures, but with these beautiful like bursts of melody. And I have continued that obsession throughout my adult life. But I thought when I heard it, everyone must know this guy. He must be the most popular musician in the world because this stuff's so beautiful. And then I was like, oh, he's actually quite a fringe figure. People know the image of him. You might have seen a poster of him sitting on the toilet. That's quite a popular sort of rock poster. But his output is so overwhelming, I don't think that many people listen to him. So I've sort of been championing him for, you know, every time I have a chance to wang on about music on radio or on a podcast, I'll give Frank Zappa a plug.
It's a lovely summary of the man's work and career.
Well, I saw his son, Dweezil Zappa, on the Zappa Play Zappa tour, and that was phenomenal. Dweezil,
Are you telling me the Zapple hasn't fallen far from the tree?
A lot of people know Frank Zappa because of his children's names.
Yes, that's what I know, but his kids have got like proper out there names.
Before it was cool. Before everyone was calling.
Before?
Yeah, yeah. So there's Moon Unit, Dweezil, Diva, and Armit. And I'm pretty sure that the registrar refused to put Dweezil on the birth certificate, so he had to change it afterwards, but it's named after a name they had for his mum's weird little toe.
How lovely. If your mum has a weird little toe, do the respectful thing and name your son after it. Do you know what Frank put down for religion on his son Dweezil Zappa's birth certificate?
No.
You got that question wrong when Ellis James asked it to you on the radio in 2016. So I thought I'd give you another chance 8 years later. He just put musician as religion.
Oh, nice.
Let's have a couple more questions you got wrong on the Zappa quiz in 2016. Oh, what's the name of the record label he formed in 1981?
Barking Pumpkin.
Yes, and what's that named after?
His wife's big toe.
His wife's cough. So
oh, it's close.
His son's named after his mum's toe. His record label's named after his wife's cough. Just lock that in all of your collective memories right now. John, we're now going to play a game quickly to test your Zappa credentials. It's called, of course, Can I Be Frank? He's released over 100 albums and has a catalogue of over 1,000 songs, and he loves giving them, as we've established, ridiculous names. So we're going to give you a phrase or word which might be a Frank song or might be something else. If you're right, you'll hear this sound.
That's correct. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
That's Frank Zappa. And if you're wrong, you'll hear this sound.
Tough tuckus. The damage has been done.
He's got such a great accent. Very sexy.
Here we go then, John. Is Penguin Flipper Dipper the name of a Zappa song or a discontinued UK chocolate bar?
Chocolate bar.
That's correct. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
It is. Although Penguin in Bondage is the name of a Zappa song. So I can see why you might be confused at home.
That song's about a vibrator. Way over on the wet side of the bed.
I'm afraid
She's
that's the end
like
of that bit.
Just like a penguin in bondage, Bond.
Is There's a Rhino in My House a Zappa song or a Channel 5 documentary?
Channel 5.
It is, about a couple who adopt a rhino and raise it in their home.
That's true. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Is Penis Dimension a Zappa song or a weekly column in Naughty's Lads Mag Nuts magazine?
It's a Zappa song.
It is. Do you know it well?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's great. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And the final one is Who Are the Brain Police a Zappa song or something Donald Trump said at a campaign rally?
Zappa song.
That's correct. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
John, that's the end of the quiz, and you got every single question right.
Thank you.
Well, listen, Frank Zappa said, most rock journalism is people who can't write, interviewing people who can't talk for people who can't read. Goodness knows what he would have made of a round on a Radio 4 panel game about whether things are his song titles or Channel 5 documentaries about rhinos in houses, but here we are. Can we have a huge round of applause, please, for John Robbins and Frank Zappa? Time now to chat to our studio audience. Not just because I'm sick of talking about Frank Zappa. That's a happy coincidence. John, we've written that down, but
that's
I've had a lovely chat about Frank Zappa.
No harm, no foul.
No harm, no foul. Our first submission is from Paul. Paul, are you here?
Hi.
Hello, Paul. Paul, you've written... Oh, well, I'd like you to say what you've written, actually.
So it's a weird one, because I'm sort of not obsessed anymore, but when I was a kid, I used to collect bubble bath bottles. Do you remember they used to come in the little, like, kind of different characters? And I'm almost now obsessed with getting rid of them because I've got boxes of them, like over 300 of these, like, bubble bath bottles. I know. But what do you do with them? Like, there's no...
You throw them away.
Yeah, that's...
You've tried to recycle them ethically, and if you can't, it's just landfill.
Paul, you've just got to line them up and say, listen, matey.
Well, can you give an example of some of the characters you were particularly obsessed with in the bubble bath bottle realm?
I'm trying to remember now what I had. I had some Thundercats. Do you remember Thundercats? Mm-hmm. They were pretty cool. So I liked them. I had a Starship Enterprise. I had two Starship Enterprises because one of them I played with so much that it got damaged. So I had to get another one. So that was a thing.
And have any family, friends or housemates complained about the 300-odd bubble bath bottles that travel with you from place to place?
Yeah, my parents have still got some at theirs, and they're like, what are you doing? We don't want these. The rest are in my room, and I just don't mention them if I have, like, anyone over. There's just these ominous boxes of things.
You know when you hear about those people who are like, God, I saw a thing go online for $3,000 yesterday. I had millions of them growing up. You're the opposite of that person. Do you know I've had these bubble bath things for 30 years? Worth nothing. Absolutely nothing. Yeah,
is there still bubble bath in it, or are you just keeping the empty bottle?
They're empty, yeah. Because you can't see the bubble bath in them anyway. They're all like little characters.
Have you just invited us to come and see the collection? What a lovely generosity of spirit. Well, Paul, thank you very much for sharing that obsession. We have a huge round of applause, please, for Paul. Michelle, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Have you related much to the obsessions that have come up so far tonight?
When I say not one bit...
Well, what's your obsession that you would like to talk about today, please?
My obsession is skincare.
Okay.
I'm obsessed. I've got a problem. It's probably what I spend most of my money on. I could have a house, but instead, I have this dewy complexion.
Yes.
I remember the early years, like, there was a moment in the 90s when Dove soap started, like, boasting about the fact that it was, like, quarter moisturising cream. And that was a moment. We were all like, wait, you don't just wash your face until it's squeaky clean. What? And then since then, I've just been on this, like, you know, roller coaster ride of getting fleeced by companies because they're offering me, you know, youth. So short of drawing like a five-pointed star underneath a full moon and shouting, release the virgins, I will put anything and everything on my face.
We'll let the room enjoy that, even though I judge them. You've described your skincare routine as lotions, potions, a cauldron, and a full moon.
Yeah.
Which does sound like a Frank Zappa song to me.
Yeah.
Do you keep the bottles of every skincare product you've ever used, like our dear friend Paul?
No, I do not. I do not. The temptation is there, because that's mostly what I'm spending my money on, really, is the packaging. You know what I mean? But, like, once you've moisturised your face with a pipette, you know what I mean? Once you've pulled that onto your skin, you can't really go back. So, no, I don't keep the bottles.
I watched a clip of you talking about trying to cut down on some of your skincare addictions mm-hmm. and trying to cut out pipettes. And you said, I can't go from a pipette to putting my finger in the pot like a peasant.
Yes, I stand by that. Because the active ingredients, do you know what I mean? I don't want to contaminate it.
John, what's your skincare routine, please?
Not bad, actually. I use a cleanser and then pat dry and then moisturise with SPF in the morning, but I don't do it at night, and I think that's the mistake because I'm leaving all of the fumes of the city on my face as I sleep. But that's not bad, is it?
Yeah. That's decent. And you're using SPF, so you're winning.
Can I ask a question, though?
Yeah.
When you're using the really high-end stuff,
yeah.
and there's, like, a bit left in the bottom that you can't get at, do yeah. you obsess about getting it out? Because it might be, like, £6 worth.
No, because I've got an obsession. I'm like, now I can buy a new one. Great. Do you know what I mean? It's all about opening up that cap fresh, baby.
Okay.
Yeah. I am truly obsessed. I've got this light, like, LED light mask that I happily spent £500 on. It makes me look like Iron Man.
What was your skincare routine when you were growing up? Because I was very anxious about acne as a teenager and was recommended by a dermatologist that I take something called Accutane.
Yeah. Doesn't it make your skin flake off like a snake, doesn't it? And doesn't it, like, make you infertile and stuff as well?
I don't think that was the dermatologist's ulterior motive. Your skin is so bad, you must be the last of your family.
You never know, man. Maybe there was, like, a more sinister thought behind it. Maybe after a long chat, she was like, you know what?
Well, I'm proud to say, and I didn't think I'd be saying this with such a weird pride, but I didn't take that Accutane. I rode out several years of having quite bad spots.
I thought he was going to say women. I was like, oh, what?
No, it remained quiet on that front for some time. But I have now got a child, so the threats of infertility, they're not... So anyway, that's...
So you did it? You didn't go on it?
I didn't go on it. No,
oh.
I was warned that taking too many of those sorts of things would play havoc with your teenage hormones. And I thought skincare's not important enough for that.
No. So you were really spotty, right? You had acne, which yes. is really stressful, especially when you're a teenager.
Yes.
You didn't make... I'm guessing that you weren't taking your pocket money and being like, I'm going to save up and go and see a dermatologist. So you were taken to see a dermatologist.
Yes, mother paid for the private consultation.
Right. And then you sat down and after a long conversation with the dermatologist yes. went, nah, you're all right, thanks. Well, you didn't say that. It was... But you know what I mean? I'm going to ride this out.
Yes. I said, I'll concentrate on my studies and let time be my physician.
Do you know what? You're... I could just see your mum coming out of the office after you'd been like, no, I'm not going to do it. And I bet she was like, I tried. Wow. Okay, well done. It's worked out good.
Thank you.
Your skin looks amazing.
That's very nice of you, Michelle. What a weird validation as we move on to our game. Michelle, we're going to play a game called In Their Skin. I'm going to describe the day in the life of a celebrity which starts with their skincare routine, and each activity they do will reveal further clues to their identity. And you can guess at the end of each sentence. So, for example, who am I being here? I wake up, put on my favourite House 99 Greater Look face moisturiser. I go down to my enormous shed to look after my bees, as featured in the Netflix documentary about my life.
David Beckham. Yeah,
didn't even get to the clue about keepy uppies while my wife sings Viva Forever. But yes, I am, of course, David Beckham. Right, let's give it a whirl, please. I wake up and apply my pleasing skincare products, which, like me, definitely have the X factor. Don't worry, darling, they also come in a range of styles. And for maximum effect, I always apply the creams in one direction.
Is it Amanda Holden? No.
No, it's Harry Styles. The X Factor, the range of styles, the One Direction. But obviously, Amanda Holden...
I was reaching. Well, because I was thinking, I don't remember him coming out with a skincare brand.
That's one way to play the game.
Sorry.
I wake up in a house of Gucci and apply my house lab cosmetics, especially on my face, as it's always getting poked. My latest boyfriend makes fun of me as he's a real joker. To be honest, it's a bit
Lady Gaga.
Yes. That was Lady Gaga, whose cosmetics line is called House Laboratories.
Sorry, because I keep on talking over you, because I'm just, you know, excited that I might have the right answer. Sorry.
All wrong. We all remember Amanda Holden. I consciously uncouple from my bed and apply my algae and zinc sea kale sunscreen. I have bone broth for breakfast. Yes.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
It was Gwyneth Paltrow. Many congratulations. I'm going to make the executive decision that we've had a lot of fun, but we're not going to finish the full round.
Yeah, thanks. I'm not loving it. I'll be honest with you.
Well... you got a good score, it says here on my notes. Michelle, thank you very much for telling us about your obsession with skincare. Time now to chat to our audience. Rita, are you here? Rita, what is your obsession, please?
I'm obsessed with Take That and Robbie Williams.
Or as it used to be known, Take That.
How many times have you seen Take That and Robbie Williams live? Rita, can you break down the respective data?
I couldn't tell you, but it's well over 100 times.
Well over 100 times. That's what it's all about.
And it's 14 times so far, seeing Take That in the last 3 months.
What?
I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it.
I'm like, there's no way Take That have performed that many times in the last 3 months.
They're currently on tour.
That's you told, I'm afraid, Michelle. That's how touring works.
But have you seen Fake That?
No, but I've seen Retake That.
Oh, well.
How did Retake That compare, Rita?
They don't.
Do they correspond individually to the members? Is there a sort of Gary figure and a Howard figure?
There's they've got the three, and every so often they bring a false Robbie Williams back in so that, yeah, they can do the four of them, but yeah, they're not like
sinister,
the real thing.
A false Robbie Williams. Would you say there is variety within the Take That shows you see? Is there they're a very consistent live act. Are they ever especially good, or dare I say it, do you ever come away going, the boys were rubbish tonight? I may as well have been watching Retake That.
They're always good. And people say, how can you go and see the same show over and over again? It's not the same show. Each time it's different. You're standing in a different place. Sitting in a different place.
You have to be a true fan to have your favourite sight lines.
It's great escapism. And, you know, they take me to a place where I can just forget everything. And I love it. absolutely
Isn't
love
the song
it.
Called Go Never Forget?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I hope that for tonight's audience, we take you anywhere near as close as Take That can take Rita. Yeah. Multiple times a year, dozens of times a year, from multiple different angles. Thank you very much, Rita. Thanks. Fantastic commitment. It's now time to welcome to the stage our VOP, our very obsessed person, someone who is so obsessive about their topic that I'm not sure if this will be an interview or an intervention. Very exciting. We've got two people in this section, so please welcome to the stage Paul and Katya Beckman, everybody. Paul and Katya, you are friends of mine. Paul, I would describe you as the person we have introduced to the show as the very obsessed person. But Katya, I would say that your take on it is also essential for general context and vibe. Paul, could you tell us what your obsession is, please?
I'm obsessed with fortresses and the study of fortresses.
You are part of a fortress study group, is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
Yes, or FSG. Could you tell me what the activities of the fortress study group are, Paul? Although I'm sure we could deduce it from the title.
We were founded about 1980, but we actually go around studying fortresses. We produce an annual magazine, Fort, and we do a lot of educational stuff as well. So it's...
You're missing a trick that the magazine's not fortnightly.
Katya, could you tell me about your relationship to the Fortress Study Group, please?
I am the passive member of this hobby. I've been married to him for 40 years.
Did you get married just after the setting up of the Fortress Study Group?
Yeah, just around then. But
the early 1980s were a busy time for Paul Beck.
He hadn't told me about the existence even.
Things might have been different.
But because it developed to be a very nice group with nice, similar people to me, bored. Yeah. And to him, interesting. I got on very well with them. There was plenty of coffee and other things. Yes.
So would you say that you are yourself interested in fortress study?
I didn't become interested in that.
We've made a lot of jokes in this show about how people's obsessions are often at the cost of their social or their romantic relationships, but I think the two of you are a magnificent example of a high-functioning, obsession-adjacent relationship. Can we have a huge round of applause, please, for Paul and Katya Beckman? We've heard about lots of obsessions today, but only one obsessive can be crowned my obsessive of the week and walk off with the coveted obsessions cap and the chance to read out the credits. I'm going to make the obsessive of the week Paul, who collected over 300 bubble bath bottles as a child and still has them. Give it up for Paul, everybody. If you've enjoyed listening, why not take up your own obsession? Or indeed, join the Fortress Study Group. Thank you very much. Goodbye, everybody.
Ivo Graham's Obsessions was hosted by Ivo Graham, featuring John Robbins, Michelle DeSwart, and Paul and Katya Beckman. It was written by Ivo Graham and Zoe Tomalin, with additional material by Peter Teleush, Cody Dalla, and Christina Riggs. The producer was Bryn Rees-Davies, and it was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4.
And next week's Obsessions will include trainers, cheerleading, and Lord of the Rings.
On BBC iPlayer, we all know the familiar faces of our solar system, but our neighbourhood is far stranger than we ever imagined. We've glimpsed lightning storms that rage across Jupiter, ice mountains that tower over Pluto's surface, and giant dust devils on Mars. Thanks to a fleet of spacecraft, these wonders are visible to us as never before in astonishing new detail. Solar System with me, Professor Brian Cox. Watch on BBC iPlayer.